And that. And that's, I don't know what kind of life you call that, but these are some of the hard life that the Filipino people have lived in this country. Many of them are old, very old. That many of the strikers here today are over 65 years old. We have a striker that's now 84 years old. Prior to the strike of 1965, all of these workers were working in the big year. And you can imagine the kind of hardship that we face as workers in this country, because we have no family, we have no home, and the only place we know is the camp. 95 to 99% of Filipinos in this country live in the camp. These are the kind of hardship that we have faced in this country. And I would like to show you the kind of example Filipinos have gone through, the ages that they are now in. So I'm going to ask the Filipino strikers here this evening to please stand up so that our visitors here can see us. By your help. Brother Melbourne, who is now the editor and educational director of the Paper Workers Union in New York, Albany, New York. Well,
thank you, Brother Larry. Brother Larry is also the captain. To tell you that I'm in charge of the Great Boycott of all the signed several new contracts, and the local newspaper put a headline over the story that it's now 40-day strike team. Was the first paper. We kind of asked them, but suggested that they weren't exactly telling the truth in their headline, and there was nothing in the story to indicate that the strike team. They refused to resume the one thing I want to say is that the students up in all the area are very much aware of your struggle here in Plano and fully support it. I can't say the same for organized labor. I'm sorry, but men and women who are organized out there.
Okay, we're going to be working for the farm workers definitely. We have Sister Rosalie Rosa. And the recent arrival from the Philippines, who I think is going to stay here permanently, I hope, happens to be the wife of Brother Horacio Arlington, Sister Carolina Arlington. With her. But 20 years ago you can't. And so that's what happened. Now on the way up, we have some good news that there is today. In Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, your life won't change. It's agreed not to buy any scalp rate. Innovation of the ANP in Detroit, Michigan has also agreed not to buy credit. going to not buy grapes this year unless they could buy some Union grapes. So that's a good sign also in California. We have also some good news in Toronto that War Bonds is not going to buy any more Scott grapes. All he will buy is Union grapes. Now, if you're going back in your respective towns, don't forget that we have to boycott all. And that the grapes that we have signed in the union contract is just a little bit. So, although we asked you to buy Union grapes, I'm sure that in California, very little Union grapes is going to be sold. So most of the grapes under Union contract is going to be shipped out to the East Coast because of the fact that, well, I guess they pay more money up there. We feel that the market at the eastern part of the United States is more lucrative in terms of their profit. So Union grapes here in California is not going to be that much. So if the stores in California are going to tell us that they are selling Union grapes, we better be sure that they are Union grapes by asking the store managers if they could show us their boxes and their bill list, bill set. Only by doing this can we be sure ourselves that the stores are not trying to defraud the customers, because it's now going on. We have many cities now, as Brother Chavez had said at the beginning of the meeting, that buys a few boxes of Union grapes and they claim that what they are selling is all Union grapes. So if you want to help us, try to police the stores wherever you may be. And you can do this, I'm sure, by your organization, by creating a committee in your areas for the purpose of trying to check on the stores. Now, Los Angeles is a city that eats a lot of grapes. And I'm sure that Chris Hartmeyer, who is involved very deeply in the boycott, has a big job ahead of him. And I understand that in your area, what store was that that agreed not to buy grapes?
Westward Hope.
Westward Hope? Westward Hope. Ho Chi Minh is not going to buy grapes. Well, at least we can still laugh. We're going to be a business guy for 5 years. I said this afternoon, and I'll say it again, that the church has a responsibility in helping with the struggle here. It's not enough that you are just going to say you understand the struggle. It's not enough that you are going to say that you support the boycott. You have to take positive action. One of the fathers asked a question this afternoon that he feels he would be more helpful if he's not going to take a position. Well, let me say this. If all the people that are in influence, if all the people that have the power to bring changes are going to be neutral, then how could we bring changes? You know, one of the biggest problems that we have as farm workers is that many people look down upon us because we are Mexicans, we are Filipinos, we are blacks, or we are poor whites. Now, those of you that are employed, that haven't seen the kind of hardship that we have to go through to work in the field to earn a living for ourselves and our families, don't have the understanding of the kind of life that we go through. Because of the fact that we are not educated, probably you think that that's the only job that we want to do. But let me say here that many of our children also like to do something much better than farm work. But how can they do other kinds of work besides farm when they can't get educated? We don't earn enough money. We can't clothe them. We can't feed them enough. And when they're sick, we haven't got the money to pay for the medical bills. So this has to be changed. And it can only be changed by all of you taking a positive action instead of sitting on top of the fence and waiting for somebody to do it for you. And I feel that I have to do this over and over again every time I have a chance, because unless it's drummed into our heads, it's easily forgotten. Here today you show your support, your interest, your intercession for this struggle. But when you go back to your homes, you go back to your cozy living room, watching your color TV, you forget about the power. So I hope that you don't forget that the struggle here is just as much your struggle as our struggle. Thank you very much.
People that didn't get introduced?
Yes.
Well, a lot of people didn't, but there are two priests who are working full-time in the boycott in L.A., and maybe they should stand. Father Tang Wei, right here.
Father Jacob,
who was here a second ago, he's probably in the back somewhere.
Give him a hand.
They have been released by their order, by the religious order, to work full-time on the boycott this summer, and perhaps there are others from L.A. that I don't know about. Are there? Full-timers? I guess not.
Well, thank you very much, and God willing, we'll see you here next Friday. And as you go back to your homes, keep the boycott life burning, and Sunday we'll soon get together to have a massive celebration when all the grace will be. One of our brothers who, one of the original strikers, one of the first men to walk out of the field and got thrown out of the camp one day and been with the strike since then, has been healed for a number of months, weeks, and he was quite ill for a while, and tonight is the first night of the meeting in several months, and we are extremely happy with us to want to acknowledge his presence, Brother Scott. We set out
to come back.
during my stay in the hospital, I've learned that men in the union will never be alone. He will not be alone. Because that's the union. Men cannot be alone. We have known that the union is an association or a group where brothers and sisters will have to help each other suffer what they suffer for each other. And getting the happiness of the suffering of one another. And I thank you again for the chance of me.
Hi, Baven, the head driver turned farmer organizer for these from New York City on loan to us from the Cat Workers Union.
Oh,
wow. A band that people said for many years simply could not be organized. Does that remind you of something else? And he went back to report his local to his union. Wednesday's family came back yesterday. And he told me about the boycott in New York. And it was wrong with you, Brother Larry. I want to just tell us briefly about the, his own experiences in New York. The compañero Jai Raven es un chofer de taxi. Quien es el sindicato de esos trabajadores, choferes de taxi. Quien decía mucha gente en el pasado que no podían organizar, como han dicho los campesinos. Se han organizado efectivamente en un sindicato bastante potente. Ese sindicato en Nueva York nos lo prestaron nosotros para que se vea aquí el comisario a trabajar, para organizarlo. Hace unas cuantas semanas regresó, después de estar aquí como 6 meses, para visitar a su familia. Y cuando estuvo allá visitó a nuestros hermanos a Mac y a Diana Byers y a Andy y a Dooming y a Mutan y a Jim Drake y a todos los demás. Pero trae un reporte de experiencias profesionales sobre la UV New York City y quiere preguntarnos ahorita.
Hace 2 días que reventó la bomba ya también y más de
750 trabajadores pescadores de Melón salieron en huelga en contra de los hermanos Apari, que tienen miles de acres ahí en Calexico, quienes han sido los más graves y grandes fundadores del pueblo trabajador. Salieron en huelga ayer en la mañana, a las 6 de la mañana, y toda la gente salió, con excepción de los regadores, cual los dejaron los trabajadores regando para darle una oportunidad al patrón a que primeramente comprendiera de que él no estaba tratando de destruirlos, y segundamente para que sepa de que si no se mete al horno también le van a sacar los regadores. La reacción de los rancheros fue similar a la reacción que recibimos de los bomberos aquí. Se rehusaron a hablar, fueron a la corte, grabaron una orden de la corte en donde han prohibido toda clase y tipo de actividad, inclusive haciendo inteligente. Bueno, es tan vaga la orden que agarraron, tan en contra de la Constitución, que no permiten ni a la pobre águila que ande las banderas. Y Jerry Bond está peleando, va a hacer una apelación de emergencia a la Corte del Distrito Federal de San Diego. Dolores está tratando de negociar con el ranchero y Manuel está ocupado en la línea piquete organizando a los trabajadores. El último reporte que tenemos hace como unas 3 horas fue de que no hay ni las moscas se paran por ahí ahorita. Pero también un reporte que el ranchero fue quizás tratando de agarrar estudiantes para venir a quebrar la huelga. Supongo que son cinco los rancheros, porque los estudiantes fueron los barandos. Dolores Huerta y Jerry Cohen are in Calexico now. They left early this morning about 5 o'clock to help Manuel Chavez, who is leading a strike there. Yesterday morning at 6 o'clock, over 350 melon cantaloupe pickers left the fields and strike against Abadi Brothers. They're the largest growers in Calexico. They farm thousands of acres in cantaloupes, watermelons, and carrots and onions and other things. We tried for 2 days prior to the strike to get the Abadi Brothers to talk to us, to let the workers prove by the election that we represented them, and to in some way try to get him to talk to the union short of a strike. And he acted pretty much in the same fashion that the great growers acted here in the Delano back in 65. And so the strike started 2 days ago. The latest report we have is that yesterday and today it's a total and complete success. No one is working except the irrigators that were left in the field by the union as a demonstration to implore that we don't want to wipe them out. The last word about 3 hours ago from Calexico is that everything is peaceful. There are absolutely no workers working, no signs that workers want to come and break the strike. Jerry Cohen is right now working, he's going to work, I guess, around the clock to try and offset an injunction that was issued this morning without warning, as reported by Bill Carter, the most blatant injunction in the whole history of the union, where they prohibit everything, including picket lines. They not only restrict picket lines, they outlaw picket lines. It's so biased that they even went as far as preventing the union flag be flown anywhere near the ranches. And so Jerry is going Friday, Monday morning to the federal court in San Diego to try and get a stay on the injunction. Dolores Huerta tried about 5 hours ago to meet with Abadi. He did meet with one of the Abadi brothers, and he said that he wasn't interested. He was very mad. How dare the workers striking? We're a bunch of communists. At the end of the day, the same record that these guys have been playing for 5 years. The Lord told them that if we let the strike go and we got into a long, protracted battle, that we're not going to only strike but boycotted. And he said, nonsense, boycott them here. Same attitude. But he did say that he thought that he was going to get workers. And we know that he's recruiting high school workers to come to make the strike. These, I'm sure, are sons of growers, and I'm sure that they're not farm worker kids that are going to come to make the strike. But the workers themselves are very strong. It's a 100% effective strike, and only time will tell. Bob McMillan, quien es el director del Departamento Legislativo de Chicago, tiene un reporte sobre los subsidios, o sea, el welfare que le dan a los rancheros ricos, los millones de dólares, porque eso es el asunto de la colonia, en fin, y quiere hacer un reporte de eso. Bob McMillan, who is a legislative lobbyist for the union, has a report on two items, one on the grower subsidy program, and another one on a very unique bill that was introduced, or is going to be introduced Monday morning in the House of Representatives in Washington. Bob?
Brothers and sisters, I think that many of you who are visitors here tonight may be wondering whether our organization has a position on the subject of general farm programs, since the issue is very much alive in Washington, and also whether Congress is going to vote a limitation on the payments. A couple of things to remember about our union as it faces this sort of a thing is that, number one, there isn't any subsidy program as such, that is a direct subsidy program as would be found in the general farm bill for grapes. A lot of grape growers, of course, grow other things, chiefly cotton, and then they do come in for the federal payments. The other thing is that we don't look at the problem exactly as a political party or a public interest group looking on the thing from the outside. We are a union involved right in the industry of agriculture, except that we're not. We're not given the role of co-responsibility that we're entitled to as a union representing workers by the growers. And so we're in the position of people who eventually, when we win through and are given that position, will have to take a very hard and very close look at these federal programs. And we can't say ahead of time where we will end up. But for the present, we look at this tremendous outpouring of taxpayers' money in subsidies to growers, large non-union growers, and say that here, if anywhere, is really a sign of the grossest kind of inequality, unequal treatment of the wealthy grower on the one hand and the farm worker on the other. There are 8 counties in the state of California where growers receiving more than $15,000 in subsidies will receive a total of more than a million. That is, there are $8 million counties in California. They are the 6 valley counties from Merced down to Kern, and then Riverside and Imperial. And on Tuesday the 16th, we plan to have a coordinated series of demonstrations, the state capital at Sacramento, and then in the county seats of each one of these counties, to call public attention to this vast difference in treatment on the part of our society and our government. The farm worker on the one hand is left out, kicked around, not even paid unemployment insurance. And then on the other hand, growers like Tenneco, a big oil and gas company that's getting $1 million a year in payments for not growing cotton. Also, one of the biggest growers of scab grapes in California. A grower like Boswell over in Kings County got $4 million in payments. Boswell is one of the biggest scab grape growers in California. Another big scab grape grower is S.A. Kemp. S.A. Kemp bought the DeGiorgio property where we once had a contract to cover table grape workers in this county. Kemp bought the property and then refused to honor our contract with DeGiorgio. Got almost $1 million in payments in taxpayers' money. And in like manner, Jamara, big grower of scab grapes, right here practically our next door neighbor. The first of the big table grape growers that the union struck. Now, it's people like these that we're protesting against, and the inequality of treatment on the part of our government, and these big cash handouts that
hit the taxpayer in three different ways. First of all, the money paid to them in handouts comes out of tax money. And then by means of the payment, without exacting as a condition that these growers recognize unions representing their employees, the government and the people are actually subsidizing non-union wages and non-union conditions. And as a result of that, they're forcing farm workers on welfare. So in the third place, the taxpayer gets hit because he has to pick up the tab for the welfare payments paid to farm workers who have to work for non-union wages and under non-union conditions. Well, it isn't right. And the point of our protest is going to be that it isn't right that either the welfare for the rich ought to be cut out entirely, or if the federal government wants to subsidize rural poverty and do something for the empty storefront space in Delano and other nearby towns, that the subsidies, instead of being paid to big oil companies like Tenneco, ought to be paid to the farm workers themselves. Congress, and a lot of grower organizations have been trying to drum up support for it. Support has come chiefly from growers. I don't think anybody else takes it very seriously. Congressman Phil Burton from San Francisco, after doing a great deal of thinking about just what the policy of our government ought to be, respecting farm workers and helping the farm worker by means of promoting collective bargaining for farm workers, has devised a bill which in brief would make it illegal for a non-union grower in a county where a bona fide union is working to organize workers, to make it illegal for that non-union grower to sell his grapes in interstate commerce, and likewise make it illegal for anyone to purchase those grapes. This would be accomplished by the Secretary of Labor every month publishing two lists. One list would be a list of all the counties in the country where a bona fide union is actively seeking to organize farm workers engaged in the cultivation and harvesting of table grapes. And then in the second list, a list of those growers in those counties who had signed a union agreement with such a bona fide union. Now, the definition of a bona fide union is pretty much us. It's a union that isn't assisted or financed in any way by an employer and actively seeks to organize farm workers by means of the strike and picketing and boycott. And the penalties would be, or rather the rights of action we'd have under this bill would be to go to court and get an injunction to restrain a violation, and then also civil penalties imposed on the grower or imposed on anyone who tries to, let's say, a shipper or a chain store that attempts to buy non-union grapes harvested in such a county. Might strike some as extreme, but when you come right down to it, if our government is really going to put itself on record as being affirmatively in favor of farm worker unions and promoting organization for farm workers, at this point in history, a measure like this isn't far-fetched at all. And in any event, once the bill is dropped in the hopper next week and it gets its bill number, the more letters of support that we have going into different members of Congress, more support that we can stir up among our brother labor organizations around the United States, the more we're going to make members of Congress and the general public sit up and take notice that our government at all levels can no longer afford, cannot afford for a very much longer time to go on ignoring the plight of the farm workers, and is going to have to do something for them in an affirmative way. Thank you very much.
Tratando de publicar el movimiento en aquella ciudad, trata de recabar fondos para ayudarnos en la parte de la beca y el link que os quiero presentar ahorita. We have with us from New York City also a fake couple, are great supporters of the movement, and I'll tell you a little bit more about them, but I want to introduce them to you. So, Sir Lucille, ese doctor, la señora de, doctor, and Mrs. Harvey, Anne and Andrea. Will you stand up?
Let's make a announcement that
that position is filled enough. The very youngest run for mayor when the strike's over. I'm kidding. We did introduce Chris Hartmeyer's wife. She's here with him, and we love her very much. She's been suffering along with Chris and all of the 5 years of the strike, and been a tremendous supporter of Chris while Chris is supporting us and continuing supporting the whole family. We'd like you to meet her, Mrs. Hartmeyer. Varios apoyadores de él que trabajan por él, igual como se trabajan aquí. Se los quiero presentar, pero primeramente voy a presentar a su esposa porque es una de las razones por qué él ha tenido tanto éxito, es por el trabajo y el apoyo de ella. Le voy a presentar a Raquel Orbendain.
También tenemos a
a una persona quien fuera quien dirigió el boicot en la ciudad de Nueva York por varios meses y tuvieron que estar atrás de vecino ahorita. Los quiero presentar. We also have a young man who led the boycott in New York City for several months. I see him in the back of the room, and I want to acknowledge his presence and introduce him to you, Mark Silverman. Mark, will you raise your hand?
Very good.